under 64. Thumbs up or down on that. 303-696-1971. We are awaiting Denver District Attorney George Brockler. Do we have him? Okay, we do. Did I say Denver District Attorney George Brockler? Sorry, I have a funeral brain from my aunt's funeral yesterday. I'll be blaming George. I'll be blaming every mistake I make for the next month on my aunt's funeral yesterday. But, of course, Repo County District Attorney George Brockler, kind enough to join us on 710 KNUS. Mr. District Attorney, how you doing?
Good, sir, and thank you for having me on. It's always great to be on with you.
Well, appreciate that. Thank you. And we had the privilege as well of talking with Mitch Morrissey a couple of minutes ago on this bill, as you know, Senate Bill 14218, that would seal some of these, in fact, a lot of these marijuana convictions that, you know, now are, you know, four offenses that would now be legal behavior under 64. What's your position on that?
Well, you know, the bill went through some substantial changes, largely because I think of the opposition by the Colorado District Attorney's Counsel, Tom Raines. I showed up to testify in opposition. Mitch had been there to talk about the hit and run bill, which was right before that, but he brought out Chief Deputy Joe Morales, a fantastic prosecutor. And I think those efforts combined got the committee to make some significant revisions to it, and it's still only barely passed 3-2. So the first form of the bill would have sought to make sealable, automatically sealable, without notice to the DA, without the ability to object, without any balancing by the court, any offense that was previously a crime under a statute called 1818-406 that is now legal because of Amendment 64. It was so broadly drafted initially that it included felonies. It included felonies for different types of cultivation, possession of concentrate, hash. And, you know, the problem with it was, one, this is bad policy in my opinion because we just don't do ex post facto. Now, we normally associate that with defendants, and I get it. But the reason it's not fair, and it's not fair to the community, is prosecutors make decisions about plea bargains based on how the law is now and what we believe the implications of a conviction will be now. So you have guys that may have been out there being 50-pound marijuana movers, distributors, cultivators beyond what the Constitution would tolerate today, and they were given plea bargains. They might have been given a plea bargain from an F3 to an F4, and under the bill, the way it initially was offered, it would have made that automatically sealable. And this is a cool part, Dan. They had drafted it in such a way that no employer, including a police department, could even inquire as to whether someone had a prior conviction for those things. So they changed it. They amended it heavily, and I really respect Mike Johnston for his role in trying to push this through, Democrat senator from Denver, but he really did carry a lot of the water on this. And that was to get it amended so that it now only applies to petty offense marijuana, usable amounts, and then there's one misdemeanor that existed for a couple years before 64 that made it a misdemeanor to possess six plants without, you know, the proper regulation. And so those are sealable, but the extra thing that we got put in there was the DA's office gets notice, we get the ability to go to court and object, and the court has to take in it's like a balancing test, a weighing before they do it. So ideally, we wouldn't do anything like this. We wouldn't go in the past and say, hey, your criminal conduct that you knew was criminal is sealable from the public forever. But this is about as watered down as you can get.
The Honorable George Brockler, I guess. Now, George, is there a district attorney review even for the petty offenses that will now be sealable, or is that more just administrative at that point?
No, my understanding is that the language that was amended, and I left after my testimony, but my understanding is that no will also be provided with notice and the ability to appear and object on those.
Good. No, I think that's fantastic. And what's kind of stunning to me is you make the point that even at the end of the day, with your powerful testimony, that from the Denver DA's office, et cetera, it was still just a 3-2 vote. You still had two members of that Senate Judiciary Committee who would have sealed up all these felonies?
No, well, the two that opposed it were opposed to it. I mean, those two votes were two votes that said, no, we shouldn't be looking in the rearview mirror to seal any criminal conduct.
Right,
so they wanted it. They wanted it. So that was a too strong for us. There were three that I think the only reason that it got out of committee was because they were able to minimize the impact of it on most of the major convictions. And I think that was probably the initial intention of the drafters. But as you might guess, legislators aren't expert in the impact of the language of the laws they pass. We see that all the time. So I think they came around. But the other two would have said no regardless. So they were actually stronger votes for us.
which is another good reason not to be shoving a bill like this in at the very end of the session. But my guess is, and this is me speaking, not our special guest, my guess is that was part of the plan of the people behind this bill, not necessarily the sponsors, but those who wanted to get it in at the last minute so there wouldn't be the opportunity to shine the light on it. But I'm really glad that you rallied, Denver DA's office rallied, and at least made this a lot better than it would have been.
Oh, I think Tom Raines from the District Attorney's Council deserves a lot of credit. And, of course, you know, Mitch and his office carry a great deal of weight. It was good, and I really appreciate how thoughtful and responsive the committee was, because they could have poo-pooed it, you know, and just driven on and put it out there, but they didn't. But you're right. I think you're right, Dan, that the goal of the people that pushed this legislation to these legislators, and it was Vicky Marble and Jesse Ulibarri who carried it, I think they had every intention of being able to seal up all the felonies. In fact, conversations with Rob Corey outside the Judiciary Committee room made that clear to me, is that their goal was to wipe away the entire past if it had anything to do with marijuana. And that just doesn't make any sense. I mean, listen, this thing, it creates exceptions. This is what's weird, Dan. You and I can appreciate this. It doesn't prevent the Bar Association from looking into past convictions, even if they were sealed or asking questions. But police departments can't. Jeez. Department of Human Services can't. I mean, who's licensing our daycares?
Yeah. Right.
The Division of Human Services. And they can't ask someone, by the way, did you have prior convictions for drugs?
Wow.
It's like, oh, you're not allowed to ask that. Well, as a parent, I'd like to know if my kids go into a daycare where someone had 50 possession of marijuana convictions. I mean, if they're lighting up every day, I get to know that.
And what's stunning to me, George Brockler, our special guest, is if you don't step up, the DA's counsel, Mitch Morrissey, et cetera, this thing becomes law. That becomes the law in Colorado, and that the sponsors, and you know, I'll assume they didn't realize what they were sponsoring, but that the sponsors would have been used that way by the marijuana industry, I think is, on top of everything else, another message to people about who's wielding power down there. I just am glad you guys stepped up.
Oh, I was happy to be part of it. If you've been down there at all to testify, Dan, what you realize is you step foot into that building thinking you're going to give testimony between 1:30 and 2, and you leave there at 5 o'clock, and you're like, oh, my goodness. One other thing, though, the argument that was advanced by the pro-pot lobby was, well, this is just further codifying the will of the voters from Amendment 64.
Right.
And you and I know, had they amended the Constitution to say, and oh, by the way, all your past criminal conduct is absolved of you, you know, for marijuana, I don't think it comes out the same way. So you're going to see this. I think over the next couple sessions, you're going to see a real push to try to argue that Amendment 64 means a lot more than the language of Amendment 64.
Yeah, I think you are right on target. And one thing I'd love to do someday when you have time, I know you're real busy, is just get together and maybe carve out a half an hour, and just talk on air about what you have seen the impact of Amendment 64 be in your jurisdiction. I read some of your comments in a really well-done national piece, and I think it would be very helpful to everybody to just get together and have that conversation, because you're in the position to see a lot that the rest of us don't get to see.
Well, I'd love to do that, Dan. I mean, listen, you and I are both big fans of the will of the people, and even if we disagree, we recognize it's the law. But I don't think saying, hey, this is now the will of the people, means that it's all roses. I think people need to understand and appreciate what this change in the Constitution means to the street cop, to the community as a whole, to our kids, and to suggest that there's been absolutely no negative impact from this change in the law is ignorant. It's just not the case.
Well said. Appreciate your time. Thank you, George.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me on, Dan.
Take care. That's the Honorable George Brockler, District Attorney, Arapahoe County. And very interesting to have both of those gentlemen back to back. Mitch Morrissey, a Democrat, George Brockler, a Republican, because as you look out across the political landscape, what you see with those two guys, in my opinion, is two very smart, very talented people who have a real skill set. You know, they have a lot of different abilities. And they're very articulate, and I would be shocked if both of our last two guests were not, you know, major statewide players, you know, for a long time here in Colorado. And I'm glad to see them acting in concert on this issue. Wow. Hey, let's come back. Do one more round of calls on this. What do you think about this bill now as amended that would seal some, thank goodness, a lot fewer of the prior pot convictions?